Hey, Only Vans listeners, this is Bree Bagwell, and I'm doing this new thing where I do a recap or a recap of the podcast, explaining a few things or people that you may not know, because sometimes when I'm talking to my friends, I forget that other people don't know the people that we know. So in this episode, I talked to my friend, Grammy winner Sunny Sauceda. He's an incredible accordion player, singer, entertainer. You should definitely check out a live show. I think it's funny that in this episode, I was really excited to tell him that he should launch his own hot sauce, Hot Sauceda. And he already had that idea, as did generations before him, because of course. But anyway, we talk about a guy named Sundance, who is Sundance Head, the winner of The Voice a few years ago, and our really good friend. We also talk about Stormy Cooper and Alan Huff, both playing Roger Craiger's band. And Stormy Cooper has his studio, Stormy Cooper Media, in Houston, Texas, where I actually recorded my 2015 When a Heart Breaks record. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Sunny Sauceda, and I will catch you on the next preview. Okay, that's ridiculous. Did you know back in 1845 that Steamboat was actually Texas? And every year for 22 consecutive years, they have sold out Steamboat Music Fest. It's going to sell out again. This is Bree Bagwell inviting you to the coolest music fest in Steamboat, Colorado. It happens every January. You've seen it. Have you not been? What are you waiting for? It is the original Texas Music Festival with over 50 bands in the Texas and Red Dirt music scene. You never know. Kevin Fowler might be just eating lunch next to you one day. With the Steamboat Music Fest package, you get 6 days of mountainside lodging, 4 days of lift passes, one night lift pass. Don't miss out. You're going to have so much FOMO if you're watching on social media. So just go to themusicfest.com, sign up for that email newsletter. You can get on the wait list. You never know. Steamboat Music Fest, down home, up high. Come get real with us. Steamboat Music Fest. Hey everyone, this is Bree Bagwell and Whiskey here with the Only Vans podcast, and I'm here to tell you about my friend Stacy Thomas with Lakeside Tax. Stacy does taxes, and not just Texas taxes, and not the simple stuff. Stacy is an EA, which means she is an enrolled agent of the IRS, which sounds fancy because it is fancy. Wherever you live, Stacy and her team of people can help, and they specialize in small business needs for like little entrepreneur, self-employed people like me. She is also a certified QuickBooks Pro Advisor, and she has two more certified QuickBooks Pro Advisors on her team. So did you get a love letter from the IRS? By love letter, I mean like an uh-oh letter. If you did, don't worry. Stacy handles tax resolution cases, and her team also handles bookkeeping and payroll. So wherever you live, call Stacy Thomas at Lakeside Tax today. Her phone number is 903-447-2710. Also go to lakesidetax.com. Whiskey really wants you to call Lakeside Tax and tell her we sent you.
I have not become jaded or cynical, and it's just because I'm like the bumblebee. The bumblebee doesn't know it can't fly. It just flies, right? It doesn't know. I've been saying that for years. It's one of my
zingers. I didn't hear that on the last podcast I listened to.
This is special just for you. This is just for you.
That's so, you are that.
And I really, so, you know, I see the silver lining in everything. My manager used to say, Sonny, you have these, you walk around with these rosy red shades everywhere you go. And I really do.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. You're pretty.
Pretty ugly.
Yeah.
That's what my daughter says. You're pretty ugly. Yeah. You're not even cool, Dad.
I don't want to feel like when I'm doing something that I'm...
being hokey.
Oh,
fake.
Gosh. I can't do that.
Hokey, fakey.
I can't do it. But
me neither.
Anyway, but like but it's very cute because she'll be like, you are very funny. You should do more stuff like this. And I'm like, that took me 6 months to think of. So
It just has to fly off the, like, I just document.
Yeah.
I'm just documenting. Like, after we're done with this, like, I'll just take a quick thing. Hey, we're here.
Yeah.
You know, only for Vans or whatever. But it's just, for me, I follow Gary V. Gary V.
Yeah.
And I'm just always, but I'm actually reading his book or listening to his book, and oh my gosh. It's next level.
I want to listen to that.
He has a new book. I'll send it to you. It's called Attention Day Trading.
Okay.
And it's basically, the moral of the whole thing is post. After all the bullshit, use all the little side things, that the options they give you. If TikTok's asking you to jump to do this, do it. If Instagram's asking you to add this little feature that's always there, do it. It'll throw your shit into the algorithms. But at the end of the day, it's post, post, post. Huh. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's no such thing as too much posting. Whoever tells you that is full of shit. Because there's no such thing as overposting.
Well, everyone's like, it's just your dog. And I'm like, well, she's the most interesting person in the world.
No, it's no, no, because it's people love dogs, number one. And it's people want to see behind the scenes. And even though those little videos don't get as many views as the performance videos, collectively, they get more views as a whole.
I get that. That makes sense to me. And our little behind the scenes. Oh, by the way, this is Sunny Salcedo, everyone. Someone says that's our first thing of feedback. It was because I like to just start organically.
Yeah.
And people are like, it's so cool. But then we like never know who you're talking to until like.
Yeah.
So listen, critics.
Critics.
We're doing 99% perfect job, you know? So.
Yeah.
But that's how I like to start it. Just jump right in.
It's okay.
But our behind the scenes video that we did. We were tipsy. Do you remember?
That's the most fun. That's the most fun. Off the cuff.
Yeah. And we did a recap.
I love that recap. Yeah. Recapping.
Yeah. Yeah. And my PR team's like, you should do that every night. I'm like, I don't want to show people how much whiskey that I'm drinking. My mother doesn't need to know how much whiskey drinking.
I was a straight shooter most of my life. Like, yeah. I'm 47 now. But most of my life, I didn't drink any. I barely drank. So now it's just, I mean... We're too old to care anymore.
That's right.
Like, I'm the older I get, the less I give a shit.
That's true.
If you're in the people pleasing business, you need to get out.
Yeah.
There's only one person I have to please, and it's not you.
It's not you. And it's Bree Bagwell.
It's Bree Bagwell.
And it's Vicky. No.
It's yeah.
And it's yeah. Who is that person?
It's
you?
Me.
Okay.
Me.
I don't know if you're gonna be like, and that's. Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Well, him too, but still. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I mean.
Do you get haters? Because I got a hilarious one last night that made Paul.
Oh my gosh.
Like, Paul got so mad. And it's not the thing of like, it's not that I care and it's not that he cares.
Yeah.
But it's just the things that they say are so stupid that it just blows your mind how dumb the things that person is saying.
I get a lot of hate. I've gotten the most hate I've ever gotten in my career.
No.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, Pitbull says, if you're not getting hated on, you're doing something wrong. So I love the hate. I welcome it. It's good for your algorithms. I hate to sound so techie, but it's really... So I engage with them. I don't get upset.
I saw you said, thank you for being here. Like, share my content.
Yeah, please share my content and I love you forever. I mean, I've been called Lizzo del Norte. I've been called Mexican Chris Farley. I've been called, Panzanocha. You know, that's like, I guess it's like Manfupa. You know, I've been called all everything. I mean,
I was like thinking like
yeah, exactly. Panzanocha.
Got it.
So I know that. Sorry, you better beep it, bleep it, bleep.
No,
a can of what is it? The Busted Biscuits can. I mean, they comment on my pants. So I just have fun with them. Okay, Joan Rivers. And if you're old like me, you know Joan Rivers was the fashion police.
Uh-huh.
So thank you very much, Joan.
Or please share my content.
Yeah. Or they say, oh, give my tia's pants back, my yoga pants. I mean, sometimes they'll come up with some cool stuff, and I'm like, that's funny.
Right.
You just have to have a good sense of humor. If you put yourself out there, people are going to critique you. Number one, you know, that's why I make music for me first, then second for the people. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not liking it, then it doesn't matter.
That's so true. The guy yesterday, he commented.
What did he say about you? Yeah.
Well, it's usually only when I run ads because it's targeting people that aren't my fans.
Yeah.
And so
who cannot be your fans?
Oh,
everybody's
God. Well,
your
this
fan.
Guy, he spelled construction wrong on his profile, so he's really doing well. But I was wearing like this vintage like disco ball jacket with like a serape scarf and like a custom hat. Like, it was a very unique look.
Yeah.
And he said, ugh, she just looks like she's trying to be somebody else. And
oh, my God.
And I never engaged, but I wrote back, cool story, bro. And he goes, get your own style. Like, that was, but it's funny because that is was actually the most my own style that I could possibly
Absolutely.
Have done.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you know what? It's just, I always say for people like that or men, right? I get a lot of guy haters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a grown man is bold enough to spend time to write on your social media, I respond to them. Like, it's usually my canned responses. Sometimes I used to have these like really funny, like, oh man, that's pretty good, what else you got, give me some more. and just kind of egg them on. And I just had fun with them because I knew what they were doing. It's psychological warfare.
And I met a guy the other day. This was wild. I was in San Angelo, mm-hmm. and he's been coming to shows for 10 years. And he came up to me, and he was saying that he purposefully engages. He was talking about politics, though, but he said, I live for it. It's so fun to make people mad online.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
And I was like, oh, you're the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
You're the guy.
They love to rile you. Well, they want to get your attention. Yeah. Like, they want to know they riled you up. I told her, I don't care that she's B. Bagwell, the queen of Texas country. I got at her. That's right. What they're thinking.
And it's really like, you didn't, but we really were like, this person is so, that was so wrong. You know, it would have been, but I mean, people have been downright mean before to me, but that one was just kind of like, it was so strange that it wasn't true or whatever. None of this matters. But I just know that I saw someone say something to you and you wrote back, thank you so much for your opinion. Please share my content.
Yeah, I do that. That's my canned response. I have these shortcuts because I'm always on the phone mm-hmm. and driving or emailing. I know what you're going to say, but I'm always working. I never stop. And I have, it's just like a shortcut. So it's always like a PZ, it's PZ spacebar. Okay. And it's automatically spits out, thank you, heart our content. Because they have to heart your content. Right. Not just like it, heart it. That's Gary Vee again.
Okay.
Very intentional, right? Heart it. Please heart and share our, and I'll add it, and I'll love you forever. Please. Because... But believe it or not, the videos that have gone viral are the ones that I keep engaging with, and they keep sharing it. Like, look, like, oh, I get all the clown faces. Oh, look at these clowns, payasos. And those, like, I think one of the latest viral videos is at like 100,000 views on Facebook and like shared 2,000 times.
My favorite one, I don't know how to describe it. You're like going like this with the
accordion. I'm thrusting the accordion.
Doesn't get it.
Yes.
Power. Yeah, perfect. I was just thinking I should have thought how to say this before I came out here, but that was
I think I might have been one of the viral ones. I was in West. The first one that went viral, I called it power stroking the accordion. When there's, because everybody knows, my wife will tell you that, you know, I'm very drawn to light-skinned women, colored-eyed women. Not because you're here, but just, you see my wife. She looks like a white girl with green eyes.
Yeah, she's super hot.
And so she's like, we were in West, she's like, she told me, oh, you're in heaven. I was just, 'cause there's all these white girls. She's like, yeah. I'm like, yes, I am. She's like, you son of a gun. We've been together for 25 years. So we're at that stage in our life. It's just funny.
I love her because we were talking about your pants and you were telling me about your pants, which we don't have to reveal that on the podcast. But I was like, oh, that's what I need is a wife. Like, I've thought that many times throughout my career.
You need
like,
a wife.
I remember like Cody Johnson's wife being like, we're mailing stuff out, CDs out to radio back when you did that. And they're all over our living room and I'm mailing. I'm like, wait, you do that for Cody? Like, I need a wife.
You do need a wife. Yeah. My wife is also a good husband.
Okay.
Yes.
Like, how so? Like, she mows the lawn.
Mm. She takes the John Deere apart. She will hang my guitars. Like, I showed up one day and she hung all my guitars.
Aww.
And she put shelves up for my accordions. She's handy. She's very handy. She's like her mama. She ain't afraid to get dirty, and she's just a renaissance woman. You know why she likes to cut the grass, though?
Why?
Because the kids don't bug her when she's cutting the grass.
So
it's her peace time.
For the love of God, I gotta go cut the
grass. And all my
guy
friends, they make fun of me like, dang, that's messed up. Why don't you cut your own grass? I said, my wife loves to cut the grass. That's her me time.
100%.
Some girls go to the spa. My wife likes to cut grass.
You really won that lottery. Oh, my gosh. What gym do you go to here?
I go to different gyms. I'm like a troubadour of gyms. So, like, I used to go to American Fitness here. I mostly go to the gyms in San Antonio.
Really?
Like True Fit, Crunch. I'll go with my wife to Planet.
Do you have like memberships at all those places?
I actually only have one at True Fit. Hmm. And I have friend, like my wife has, Vicky has a Planet. And then my friend has a Crunch. He's like, hey, just come whenever you want.
That homie hookup.
The homie hookup.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, for me nowadays, it's either a hookup or triple charge for me. Like, I have friends that know that I'm a musician and they see what we're doing and they're like, oh, you're rich. I'm like, no, I'm not rich. No, no, not at all. I'm rich of friends and music or people that think that I have friends. I don't know.
Or it's like, you know, I had someone kind of talk about like how much money I was making the other day, like out loud, and I was like, oh, I do make a lot of money, but it all goes right back out. So it's like, we don't have a lot of, there's nothing left.
The pie is split up pretty thin.
Do you even want to know how much a radio single costs in Texas?
Oh, like, it's like, don't even get me started on radio singles.
I mean,
are we going to have industry talk today?
We can totally have industry
talk. Oh, I love it. I'm new, so I can.
Well, that's what I was kind of mainly thinking was like the difference between what you've seen from like Tejano to Texas, and like, because you are new here, and I like mentioned someone and you're like, I don't know who that is. I was like, what a blissful life to come in. And I heard you say on another podcast, because like some people are a little bit jaded, and I was like, me a little bit.
It happens.
But it's very fun to see like someone new coming in.
Like, oh, well, you know what? I've always been this way, even though I've been in the music business for technically 42 years. Even in Tejano world, Conjunto world, I have not become jaded or cynical. And it's just because I'm like the bumblebee. The bumblebee doesn't know it can't fly. It just flies, right? It doesn't know. I've been saying that for years. It's one of my
I
zingers.
Didn't hear that on the last podcast I listened to.
This is special just for you. This is just for you.
That's so, you are that.
And I mean, so, you know, I see the silver lining in everything. My manager used to say, Sonny, you have these, that you walk around with these rosy red shades everywhere you go. And I really do. It's taken me, I still can't hold a grudge. I try. I'm working on holding grudges, but I just can't for the life. I don't have that kind of energy. I don't have that kind of energy. I never have. Maybe it was my upbringing. I wasn't rich. We're not rich now, but I didn't know I wasn't poor until I wasn't poor. Like, I didn't have air conditioning. This is nice to have air conditioning, you know, and you know, it's, you know, insulation. You know, I grew up poor, you know, and so I've just always been the happy kid. I love music. I love people. You have to love people in the business. I think it's a different dynamic being a man in the business versus being a girl. And I can say that because I have seven sisters. So I'm almost a feminist, right? And I probably am.
You are.
I probably am. And so I know it's a different dynamic. And so with that said, it's, you know, there's a power struggle, but at the same time, there's advantages and disadvantages of being a man in the business, right? If I was a pretty girl, you know, I'm sure Ed, oh, hey, what's up? But with that comes other things. So, but the way I've remained not cynical and not jaded is I quit once a year for sure. Like, every year I quit. Like, I'm done with this music stuff. I'm going to stay home and watch the Cowboys, and I'm going to barbecue on Sunday, and I'm going to drink beer. And then something happens, right? But
mine's once a day. Just kidding.
What you do with band members or, you know, you're trying to put out a fire. But, you know, it's a blessing. It's a privilege to get on stage to be able to perform.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo, and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
Now, if we can get paid a little bit of money to pay some bills, that's even better, right? Which is hard to do every weekend. It's hard. It's not easy. So, you know, you have to diversify. You know, you start other businesses on the side, you know, or you get a day job if you have to, if you can. It's hard to keep a day job in the music business. So, but the way I've remained unjaded and uncynical is just by, I guess, what I feed my brain. Like, I feed myself with positivity. What you eat, you are what you eat, right? Your brain is also another thing. It's another muscle. So I always stay positive. And it's very few and far between people that I really say, I don't like that guy. I don't like the guy. But maybe you're one or two.
Clay Hollis is coming up here next.
I don't like that guy. I don't like him either. I don't like him. No, I love Clay Hollis.
I know. He's my baby doll. I love that man. But I love that too. And you know what? Sometimes if I do get down, I do my gratitude journal every day.
Yeah.
And if I feel like I've kind of gotten in a rut or something, and I realize I haven't done that for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
And it's like, it really does like train your brain to kind of see the positivity in things. And even if you can't think of anything, you can always think of something like air conditioning or RV or my dog, or even if it's not, you know, I just got a big sponsorship or something. It doesn't have to be something big. It can be little things, and that adds up.
Absolutely. And I think it's easy to lose perspective. You know, you never really know how fast you're going until you get off the race car. Because this is my third chapter in my career, okay? Or maybe my fourth even. When I started with my dad's band, it was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. I left my dad's band when I was about 17 to join Eddie Gonzalez. And then that thing blew up.
Yeah.
And then we broke up. And then we were Grupo Vida. That thing blew up. Then I kind of got fired from my own band, which is really weird. And I kind of quit at the same time. But you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, we did all that. I didn't realize it. So like, you will truly never know the impact that you have had on the business until you get out of it.
Oh yeah, that's great.
You never know. You never really know. And or when you get to an age where like you're, I don't like to use the word fan or supporters, and then their kids are coming to see you play. Or their kids are singing your songs. Oh, you know, I heard that when I was... So then you're like, wow, that's cool.
Or when you die.
Well, then when you're dead, you're dead. You don't even know. You won't even see it.
Yeah, right.
So COVID taught me that. I didn't realize I missed playing until, you know, during COVID, I watched one of our videos, and I thought it was good. I was like, nah, this is cool, you know. And then I saw one of our videos. I was like, oh my God, I missed playing. We were so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah. I've watched some of your videos and some that you've sent me that I didn't know mm-hmm. were you. Because, like you said, there's a bunch of different names. So there, if you're mm-hmm. not searching the right
yeah,
things.
Exactly.
And then which one was on tour with the
Dixie
with
Chicks? Yeah, that was my old band, Grupo Vida.
Right.
And so, you know, we did the Dixie Chicks. And that was fun times. And Emily and Natalie and the girls were so humble. Oh. It was so amazing. I mean, talk about getting a taste of what it felt like to be at that level.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is this, though. In my own little mind, my eyes, if I'm playing for tables and chairs, I see arenas. I see 20, 30, 40,000 people. In my mind, I've always had that mentality. It's the weirdest thing ever.
That is something that I don't do.
I do.
I love that. I can sometimes be mm-hmm. totally fine if there's like mm-hmm. a disappointing night, and then mm-hmm. sometimes I can be a little bummed out. But I still try not to like show that to the audience. But I definitely mm-hmm. don't have the ability to be like,
well,
yeah.
I mean, well, when you think about it, yes, we're playing music, but You're still acting. Like, how many times, and I know you can relate, how many times have you been getting ready for the road and something's happening at home? There's an emergency at home. Mom got sick, the dog's sick, you know, something happens, and you have to go on stage, put on a smile, pretend nothing's wrong, and do your job.
Yeah.
So you're essentially acting.
I told my band that the other day because I think, you know, sometimes you don't, no, mm-hmm. not like I don't know what they're going through, maybe, right?
No.
And but sometimes you don't mm-hmm. know what your lead singer is going through. Like, there might be something happening or some sort of stress or some sort of, you know, unexpected expense or something. And so sometimes we need a little bit of a break.
Well, when you're the guy, you know, there's always that pressure. There's always a pressure of, you know, drawing, you know, people, ticket sales. And when we have a not so great night, you know, as far as attendance, you know, it's a hit and miss. But how many people would love, how many young girls would love to be in Bree Bagwell's shoes? Boots. Like, seriously. Right.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. And trying to get gigs, or girls will say, I'm just trying to get booked. And it's like, man.
And you're deciding, like, which gig do you want?
Yeah. And how much, and I want to play
like
less.
How much am I going to charge you this time? Or, you know, you want to pay? Right. So that's a good problem to have,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But it's easy to forget that.
Yeah,
it's easy.
Is. Or it's, but I think, just like you said, every time that I'll go through a stretch of kind mm-hmm. of some bad things, the universe will always, like, we had a really mm-hmm. just amazing last couple of weekends that were mm-hmm. like, great, you know? All right, I'm fine for another 6 months or something. And then, you know, but it definitely, there was a stretch this summer that got like a little bit strange, like just weird.
Yeah.
Not bad as much as just it felt weird. And I kind of was like, okay, God, like, give me a sign here, bro.
And
he did. It always happens with music, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's part of the journey.
How did you meet Sundance? Speaking of journey.
You know, we were at the strip club. No, I'm just playing. No. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. It was at a Hooters. No. Actually, it's funny. It's so funny. It was through a phone call I made to Stormy Cooper.
Oh, now, I loved a Stormy.
Yeah, I love Stormy's. He is so cool. Now, Stormy, I knew Alan. I've known Alan Huff for about 10, 15 years now.
I love that man, too.
So Alan Huff had been following us, I guess my career, since I had recorded this album that won 2 Grammys, which is a side project, mind you. And we just kind of became friends over social media. Like every true romance starts, right? Over social media.
Amazing.
So we had seen each other at Dos Borrachos gig in Seguin. And I had seen him at other places because I've been plugging in, right? And we just talked about maybe working or something. And I called Stormy one day just to say hi. Like I always randomly do, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? Just checking in. Then he says, you need to meet Stormy. We need to meet Sundance. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, y'all should get in the studio together. I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, who's Sundance? Who's this guy?
Is that a film festival?
Is that a film? Because it's Sundance, Stormy, and Sunny. So we're all weather names.
Right.
And then Sundance's wife is Misty. Right. So we're laughing about the whole.
Yeah, just the name.
The names, right?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
And then he tells me who he is. And I'm like, and I'm thinking like, what?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No. You think he'd go in the studio with me? He's like, oh, totally. Like, well, if you can make it happen, I'm down. I'm there. And so that's kind of how it happened. And I didn't believe it till I saw it. I'm no way. And then me and Sundance are talking over text. We talk on the phone. We're trying to get together to write. Our schedules didn't align. So I just ended up texting him all these ideas for songs. All my ideas or voice messaging him. Hey, this is an idea. And we wrote this song. We never met each other.
Oh, what a dream.
Right? And we just kind of show up to the studio. And I didn't know. I thought it was just going to be Stormy, Sundance, and I. Oh, no. It's like the whole team's there. Will's there. Alan's there. Brew's there. I mean, basically the whole Roger Krieger band. Mine is Roger.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Lot of them did. I did a record there with all those
same.
Oh,
my gosh.
Players.
Amazing.
Yeah, really, really great players. And the fact that it's like in Texas.
And it's in Texas.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I was so impressed by them. I've been making records since I was 5 years old. So I've done a few records, and I was blown away by it. I had never seen anybody work like that. And I'm an emotional guy, number one. We're all songwriters and musicians. We're all emotional people. And I'm sitting there just trying to keep it in. Like, I cannot believe this. I'm in here with a legitimate producer. These guys are the real deal, right? And it's like, imagine you going to record with Abraham Quintanilla.
Oof.
Okay, same dynamic, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm there trying to keep it in, like, keep it together. And it was just amazing. And Sundance is, he makes me look low-key. He's like on a different frequency.
Him and Misty are my buddies, man. We've been friends for so long, and when the voice stuff happened, we were over the moon because he's really such a talent. But yeah, they're just really cool people.
Really cool people. Well, the beauty about this is that, and you're going to find out later, because we did an interview. I interviewed them. After we're done with it, I'm just rolling with the punches. I'm like, okay, yeah. And I'm like, well, so who's going to foot the bill for this? Like, what's going on? And Stormy looks at me in the kitchen. He literally sits there and he's like, grabs me by the shoulder. He's like, Sonny, this is my gift to you. This is our gift to you. Welcome to the club.
Stop it.
I promise
I'm going to cry right now.
Yeah. I was like.
Oh, no, that actually is going to get me. Oh, that's so great.
See?
I mean, that's so great. And that is totally them.
Yeah.
All those guys. I played a show not too long ago and there was a little note on my keyboard, and it was Alan Huff left me a little note on my keyboard. I mean, just really great guys, and I'm lucky that we know them. But that is the kind of stories that just make my heart explode, because you deserve it.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I deserve it. I feel so undeserving. Me and Corliss have imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I just they're next level. And I'm just so grateful to them.
Well, you are next level. Your shows are like the most fun that you could possibly have. If you guys can go see Sunny, it is the most fun you could possibly have. We were just talking about how we don't go see shows on our night off, but I would go see you on my night off.
You.
I would travel. We had, Sunny and I had maybe one of the most fun performances of my life. I don't know about yours, but
where, T3R?
Yes.
Oh, that was next level. That was awesome.
So fun. Well, I didn't know AJ Vallejo was like, "Hey, do you want to sing Como la Flor on the award show?" And I was like, "Okay." I didn't know it was a tribute to like Latin Texas artists. So it was like, you know, Stephanie Urbina Jones and like you and Matt Castillo and then like Bree Bagwell. It was like, I did not belong.
Bree Bagwell Garcia Sanchez de la Garza.
I got immediately like,
of course,
stressed out because there was a couple other artists on there and I was like,
well, how do you think I feel every time I go out and sing Texas country for all y'all?
Oh my gosh, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, I don't belong here.
No,
but,
you totally belong there.
We had the best time.
Oh, yeah, I got chills when you sang it. I got chills. Oh. When I sound check, I was like, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
I was wondering. I didn't know we were all... Well, I knew, but then when I heard it, I was very impressed.
And I was...
I don't give out participation ribbons. Trust me. When I say that, I mean it.
Thank you.
You did amazing.
Well, I thought I was Hispanic till I was like 13. No one told me I was a white girl. I was like,
You're white. What?
I know.
I didn't know that.
In my soul, I'm not. But...
See?
I mean, or whatever. I'm all things. I think I am all things.
I think
all can be all things, whatever.
I think at this point we're
I'm
all
not
mutts.
Hating on... Yeah, that's right.
We're all
I'm a product of where I grew up, which is on the border, you know? So my next song is called Border Girl, and it's about that.
I like that.
And I love that you're doing... You live in New Braunfels, and it's like you play the accordion like you're won a Grammy. Like, it's amazing. So what a perfect place for you to live that's like... Texas, and also you can sing in Spanish and you can play the accordion and polka and all the things.
It's the perfect place to live. I didn't know I was living in the Mecca of Texas country. I've dabbled in it, and I've, you know, done some stuff like with Charlie Robeson and like Robert Rodriguez is not really Texas country, but of course Dixie Chicks and stuff, and I didn't realize it, and then I'm finding out all of these artists live here. I've met so many artists. They live here. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's really a great place to live. And I just want to, the last thing, I mean, we didn't even go down. Do you have a hot sauce coming out?
We're working on a hot sauce. We are working on a hot sauce. Say that. If you look at the cover, it's so funny. My dad used to write a DA at the end of every hot sauce bottle we saw. So that's why if you look at it, if you zoom in, you'll see the DA. So we do have a hot sauce single coming out.
Well, okay, great. Because when I asked to have you on, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I should tell him he should come out with his own hot sauce data. And then you already are. When I did a little bit of research today, I was like, well, of course you are. You're smart. And then the last thing, we've just like blown through this. It's crazy. But the Texas Grammy chapter.
Yes.
I'm a member. I don't think that we met through that.
No, we didn't.
But I met Mike Carlos through there.
Yes, Carlos Alvarez. Yes, so I've been a member. I'm back on the board. I was vice president many, many years ago. So it's what a blessing.
Yeah, congrats.
Hey, it's been, you know, I always say that it's the long game. You know, as it turns out, I don't use the word unfortunately. As it turns out, we live in a transactional world. But I promise you, if you go and you show up, you plant seeds. I did a Don't Mess With Texas commercial.
I know.
A few years ago.
That was on my list.
10 years ago. And the thing is, not many people have done that. But that came from a seed that we planted like 7 years prior to the actual filming of that. And I didn't know it was going to happen. But this is why I say we grow the family. We just make friends everywhere we go. And that's part of hot sauce. You're never alone in life when you make friends everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think, oh my gosh, it might have been Brandon. He said, "When you from the he was the executive director for the Texas Music Office."
Oh, Brendan.
Brendan Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said something at UTSA one day. He said something about when you make friends in the business, you're just growing up together, and you're just friends working together, which is so true. So that's all we do, and that came out of that. So being a Grammy member is just showing up, meeting people, networking. That's all. That's so important.
Totally. If you need a nomination, let me know. I'd be happy to nominate you.
Thank you.
Liz, not you. The listeners.
Oh, listeners. I was like, are you going to nominate me? I was like, no. I need another nomination.
I just thought, like, because, like, Kyle Park, I think, nominated me or something, or Wade Bowen. And then you have to be, like, nominated to get invited.
You have to be. I was like, thanks. I was like, okay. I'll take all the nominations I can get.
You're so sweet. You're just bumblebeeing around. And I wore my Selena shirt, and Johnny Cash and my grandma were second cousins.
Really?
Yes. So you're.
I love Johnny Cash.
Panza Juan. Dinero now. We're changing your name.
I love that. Panza Juan Dinero.
That's not right. Okay, that's enough.
I love it.
High five.
All right.
One of my favorite people, you guys, catch a Sunny Sauceda show and go check out his TikTok. You will just die.
Check it out.
You love it. I'm a rock and roll dealer, so let me in. I'm a redneck squeeze box Mexican.